Greetings. This is Dr. Gabriel Cousins, Director of the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center in Patagonia, Arizona. And in these times, I'm choosing to speak more publicly because I'm committed to supporting people in the health awakening process. For this reason, I invite you to join me in our new autumn programs. Choose to be trained in vegan live food preparation and our condensed conscious eating weekend, which is designed to meet the sincere needs of the busy. Or take our new innovative 10-day holistic health intensive, which will leave you feeling renewed and empowered. I also invite you to join me in the later fall for our powerful 21-day transformation program or our 9-day spiritual fasting retreat. For more information, please visit our website at drcousins.com or call 520-394-2520. Blessings to your health and spirit.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensifies sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away. The problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com. That's HOTRAWKS.com or call us 855-RAW-LIFE. That's 855-729-5433.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right. Welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. I'm going to be bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. I've been promising to have this guest on more frequently, but it still seems like it's maybe once a month. We're going to have to work on that. But here on the line right now, Liam Sheff, author of the book Official Stories. Liam, what's up, my brother?
I'm here, Kurt. I'm here.
I knew you were going to do that. We talked before the show and we joke around, and I know he's going to put that into the show. And I'm sitting here going, Liam, this is not Liam in three. This is serious stuff here, dude. But he doesn't care.
I don't care. If you stop now, we'll hunt you down. I'll find you. If you don't stop vaccinating your children, I'm going to hunt you down. I will find you. I'm going to take you out for waffles. In the morning, I'm going to take you out for waffles, and then I'm going to kill you.
All right, Liam. Hey, the first thing that we're going to talk about today, and this is serious stuff now.
Liam, it's serious. Stop it.
Be serious, Liam. You really were that child that was probably taken out of class on a number of occasions, weren't you?
I was constantly taken out of class.
I bet you were. So, and you know, the thing is, I was not a troublemaker in school. I was like the little nerd. The only time I got in trouble was because somebody happened to be pummeling me, and it was a fight, so we both got in trouble for it.
I can't picture anybody pummeling you. You're a giant of a man.
Well, I was really skinny back then, and very, very shy. At one point in time in my life, I was quite the introvert.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know, young introverts. That's why you don't want to peak early. You want to get the crap kicked out of you in grade school a few times, and believe me, happened. When did that happen? Bus stop, fourth grade. And then I had a growth spurt, so it was a little harder after that. But, yeah, one good, you know, oh, you don't have a dad, oh, I'm going to kick your butt. You cry, but there's nobody there for you. You toughen up.
That's right. That's true. That's how I got my attitude that I've got now. I finally, at one point, it clicked, and I said, not going to do it anymore. I'm going to stand up to you. And I finally realized, hey, I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I never really had to, I got good at joking. Did I fight? Yeah, I mean, we wrestled. You know, we'd sort of, like, see who was the toughest. But then I got sent to a school where we weren't allowed to fight, so we found every other way to fight. You know, we got good with words and that sort of thing. And we weren't even allowed to wrestle, so we just had to play sports. But, yeah, sort of, you remember wrestling with your friends to sort of, it was a fight, but it wasn't? It was to see who kind of was the toughest?
No, I had very few friends, and when I was wrestling, it was for my life.
Life? No, we do strength wrestling. Like, we were just trying to see sort of who, you know, had gotten stronger, and wrestling's really good for balance and for figuring out somebody else's weak point. Every fight ends up in a ground fight anyway, so
right.
Might as well learn how to do that. And it only makes you a little gay.
As long as your clothes are on, right?
As long as your clothes are on. And then I, you know, as an adult though, I did some training, and you've done all that kind of stuff too. But I did some training, and I did some ground fighting, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
And Krav Maga. And, you know, I loved it, but it was just too much sometimes. Like, I remember this guy going, hey, all right, hey, you get in the, what was the hold called? And so he lays on the ground, and he just spreads his legs open, and here, you get in the hold. I said, no, I'm going to pass it. I don't even know the dude. He's like, here, let you try to get out of this. No.
I'll stay out of it. How's that?
No offense. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just wasn't there that day.
You weren't feeling it.
No, but there were some really great dudes in the Krav Maga studio. They're really good at, really, really good at ground fighting. And I don't know, the best guy at it, the skinniest guy, was the teacher. He was the teacher of the thing. And he must have weighed 130 pounds. And he would tell you that. He was like, 5'9", weigh 130 pounds, 5'10", like 150 maybe. Maybe. Really thin. But good luck. You could maybe beat him with pure aggression or skill. But if you're just doing the moves, he was just, the moves were so subtle. And getting a hold, you'd think that you were doing something, but his arm would have slipped around your body. You wouldn't even have seen it. It would have grabbed your wrist, turned your wrist, and then suddenly you would have been thrown forward because he was so good at using your own weight against you. Anyway, it was a great lesson. This fight training are great lessons. We don't teach kids anything about this anymore. So our kids grow up addicted to video games, but they don't actually know how to do anything. Martial skills are really important. Number one, it teaches you really you don't really want to get into a fight if you can avoid it. It also teaches you, if you're going to get into a fight, you know, go for the soft spots.
Exactly.
Don't waste time. And don't try to cripple the person. Don't be a hero. Don't punch somebody in the face with you'll break your knuckles on their face. And if you break their face, you'll owe them everything for the rest of their lives. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about fighting, but life is a fight. You got to learn how to fight.
Or fight outside of public, so if you do happen to really hurt them, you can dispose of the body. That's the key. There's pig farms all over the Midwest, man.
There what?
There's pig farms. That's how you dispose of bodies.
That's what they did in
That Silence of the Lambs sequel is awful. Yeah, you're a level more diabolical than I am. You know, I'm just I tell him, like, everybody breaks. You know, don't think that you're not going to break if somebody's trying to get at you. We were talking about this in the Robert Scott Bell Show. Who do we have on? We had somebody really cool on, John Rappaport. We had John Rappaport on, and we're talking about, like, CIA mind control stuff and the weird stuff that went on with the guy in the movie theater for the Batman thing. And we had just made a movie review for the Batman movie on the show, and I said, this is psyop. This is agitation prop. This is agitprop, because they spent $200 million and more dollars on this thing. $250 million. They're not just trying to sell tickets. They're trying to, like, program people to be afraid of terrorists, to, you know, want the military-industrial complex to come along and save them. That's what the Batman thing's about. You know, a guy in a military outfit coming along and saving you. You don't do anything for yourself. You wait for the guy to come and save you.
Exactly.
And then, like, 2 days later, the movie theater got shot up. We went, holy crap. You know, that was too much. So we were talking about... And I was saying, if they ever, in the mind control scenario, people think that they won't break, everybody breaks. That's, you know, that's just one of the myths that you can withstand torture. Nobody can withstand torture. So I just say, just ask me what you want, and I'll just sign it. Just tell me what to say, and I'll sign it, and then I'll run, like, just get out of the country. Like, goodbye, I can't live here anymore. So.
Well, what's your concerns then, Liam, with this Official Stories book? Because you get... right down into the nitty gritty of so many of the what they call the conspiracy theories out there, and this book's got to put you on the radar.
Oh, it's the only thing that bothers them that I did was the AIDS stuff. That really bothers them. But I've made myself kind of kooky, and, you know, I tell a lot of jokes, and, you know, like, I'm fairly pornographic in my jokes, and so they can just write me off. If I were Tom Brokaw came out and said, the coverage of Osama bin Laden was really killed there. Oh, shut up, Tom Brokaw. You know, so he has to come out and say that the make-believe coverage of the SEAL team that didn't shoot Osama bin Laden was true. So that's just, so he says that. But if he came out and said that he had doubts about it, now, he's already quit his job, but he wouldn't really work again. Like, remember when Dan Rather came out and said, George Bush looked like he didn't really serve in the Air Guard and was just, you know, was allowed to get free of his assignments. And he was.
Mm-hmm. You
know, I didn't say anything that was untrue. The Texan, what was his name? The other guy just said that. Rather didn't say anything that was untrue, but he was fired. He was gone from his job very quickly. So you have to be in a position of power for them to really care about you. I don't write for anybody in the mainstream. Now, maybe they're going to start worrying about everybody who's not in the mainstream, like you. And, well, they'll, you know, Mike Adams is on the radar because he's big.
Right.
But hopefully I'm just a clown to them, so I can just say what I...
And you really are. You've taken it to another level with Liam and Three. And I just absolutely love those little snippets you put on YouTube.
The snippets of my own personal mental disorder. Yes, these are the things that I think when I'm going through the day. What should I say? Your wife watched one. I look at the mainstream, and they're just so mean. And they beat up on women and children, right? The vaccine mainstream, they actually beat up on women and children, which we're told not to do growing up, right? Unless your dad, like my dad, beat up women and children, which he did. So I mean, me and my mother, and his other kids. So most people are told, whether the family abides by it or not, don't beat up on women and children. You can beat up on men all you want, but don't beat up on women and children. Unless the woman's tougher than you are, then you can beat her up, because she'll probably kick your ass. So we're told that. I don't know how true it is, but the vaccine industry, Kurt, beats up on women and children.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What... I thought, these are hideous monsters. You know, these kids are, number one, the moms are demoralized, but the kids are totally damaged by the injections, the monkey testicle protein and the aluminum and the squalene and the neurotoxins, and then we're fed pesticides and they go in for more, and the doctors go, well, you're not giving them enough pesticides, give them more pesticides. Here's some Neutralac. here's some Similac because your child needs to be on drugs and they can't eat solid food anymore. Holy crap. I mean, everything's a nightmare. And kids get bothered or really damaged by the vaccines. The doctors say, oh, your JIV wasn't the vaccine. And I'm thinking, God, they might as well call stupid. They might as well. I don't know if I'm going to say this. This is in jest, but they might as well call them a bunch of stupid bitches. They might as well say, you stupid bitches.
Well,
you know?
And that's really, really what they do. I mean, and it's really despicable.
I know. And I thought, God, they're just calling them a bunch of stupid, idiotic, pain-in-the-ass bitches. Why don't they just come out and say, oh, okay, I'll say it for them. So I decided to say it for them. Because that's what they really say. And in order to sometimes show what the mainstream does, you actually have to take the veneer of politeness off of it. And it's a really thin veneer, too. Because if you go to some of the web debating sites, they'll blame mothers for being bad mothers. Oh, your child, it's not our child is autistic. Now, it's not our fault for injecting the child 18 times with monkey testicle proteins, aluminum, squalene, and, you know, other things that we gave victims of Desert Storm, you know, the soldiers who signed up for it. No, it's not our fault. It's your fault, you stupid mother. And they might as well call them dumb bitches or whores or something like that. So I decided to just go the distance, and so I put it out, and I showed it to Ginger Taylor, who's an autism mom, co-founder of the Canary Party, and I said, if you hate this, I'll take it down. And she said, no, I love it. That's exactly right. That's exactly how they treat us. And so I left it up, and people have enjoyed it.
Well, my wife sure did, that's for sure, and I've been showing it to everybody. I will post it on my Linderman Unleashed Facebook page, but I can't air it on the air because you go a little bit further with your language than I'm allowed to hear on the Natural News Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Liam Chef, as soon as we get back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Are you frustrated with surging grocery prices and the very real possibility of empty grocery store shelves? If the food transportation system were disrupted, how long could you and your family live on the food in your home pantry? Being prepared for what life might throw your way provides a tremendous peace of mind. A home food store is the perfect insurance against the unknown and the unforeseen. It often seems like a daunting task to start, store, and use your food storage. Beth Dunsing, an independent consultant with Shelf Reliance, offers you an easy and healthy solution. Thrive Foods. Thrive Foods are healthy, delicious, GMO-free foods with no additives, no preservatives, and a long 20 to 30 year shelf life without refrigeration. Foods so delicious, you will want to use them every day. Beth will help you use the free online planning tools to customize a food storage plan that fits your family, your budget, and your space. Guarantee that you will never look into the eyes of a hungry loved one and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Food is key to your family's survival. To receive a personal password to guarantee you receive the low Linderman Unleashed pricing, send an email to me at lindermanunleashed@hotmail.com. Get started today.
Are you concerned about the food supply, including GMOs in your family's diet? With pesticides, herbicides, and questionable additives like MSG, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, and food dyes in most foods on the market today, you should be. Well, now there's an affordable alternative to high retail organic food prices. Announcing Box Organics, created by two families with children affected by autism that were not only concerned with the toxic ingredients in our conventional diets, but equally concerned with the high cost of providing their family nutritious organic foods. Box Organics offers USDA certified organic fruit, vegetables, dairy, dry goods, and meats delivered fresh, not frozen, directly to your door. We're an online store offering you substantial savings on the organic food that you want at your convenience. Ordering is easy. Box Organics currently offers free shipping in 15 states with a minimum purchase. Visit boxorganics.com. That's organics with an X.com today. Box Organics. Think and eat outside the box.
Hey Obama, the Lindermans refuse to lower their standards, so up yours. And now, back to Linderman Unleashed.
Two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me. it says, and I'll take that to my grave.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman, with Liam Sheff today, author of the book Official Stories. And Liam, I'm going to tell you what. One of the stories, one of the chapters of your book, which is just another one of the many that really blew me away, because I mean, I deal with vaccine issues, GMO issues, organic food, the real, you know, the stuff that's like happening to us right now. I don't have time to be thinking about the philosophical issues of where did we come from and what's our universe all about. So I never even heard anything remotely similar to how you describe what's really going on in the universe. And you've done quite a bit of research for this book when it comes to this, and interviewed quite a few people. And you're basically saying that science has got it completely, 100%, completely wrong, and that they're bogged down in this dogma of what they call science, when really you're looking at an electric universe, an electric sun, an electric star. Explain a little bit about the premise of what you're talking about here.
Sure. Well, it was a number of years ago. I was coming back from a trip. I was with my partner, Helen, and we were visited a guy, Dr. Andy Maniotis. He's a crazy guy, really brilliant guy. Difficult as can be, but brilliant. And we stopped off in Chicago, and he had us over, and he's kind of a genius, and he really is too, with all that travels with that. So we were talking about the AIDS thing, and the AIDS thing is giant fraud. AIDS is every disease in the world, and HIV tests don't work, and you know, AIDS is every disease of poverty, I mean, and drug abuse, and everything that happened in the gay community as they were destroying themselves in the 70s with drugs and STDs and antibiotics, antibiotics, antibiotics. So we talked about that. He gets that very clearly. And I was saying, well, that's interesting. Okay, so we get that. And he said, well, you know, it's not just that. There are other sciences that are really screwed up. I said, yeah, I know. I've been looking at the Darwin thing, and I've been looking at evolution, and that's nutty. I mean, there's no there. Darwinian evolution is just a big empty hole. And he said, yeah. But have you? What about the crisis in cosmology? And I said, the what in the what? The crisis in cosmology. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know, NASA, that kind of stuff, Big Bang Theory. I said, you're kidding. Even that's BS? Even that's wrong? Don't they get anything right? And I just was stunned. And he said, yeah, read Eric Lerner's book, There Was No Big Bang, or whatever that's called. So immediately we're back in New Jersey, and where Helen used to live. Helen, my partner, passed away. She had an aneurysm. And I'm just always mourning her and thinking about her. But she, we were there, and I'm looking up the book, and I'm reading the book, and then I go and I start to research it, and the basic premise is, wait a second, I just begin to ask myself, you know, at the same time that somebody asked me to think about AIDS or to think about Darwinism or to think about any of these things, I went, wait a second, why do I believe this story? There was a big bang, there was nothing, and then it exploded. That's scientific. There was nothing which exploded. Really? How did we get there? So you look that up, and one of the first things you discover is that there was nothing which exploded is an idea that was invented by a priest, by a Roman Catholic priest. And you go, whoa, that's interesting, because it sounds a lot like biblical Genesis. First there was nothing, and then there was everything. And these ideas are very, very similar. They seem to travel together. And you go, oh, okay, the guy who invented it had a pre-existing bias. He liked the story of there was nothing which exploded. He just reframed it with a little bit of math. Now, it turns out that when he did that, it was very unpopular. And everybody said, you're recapitulating Genesis. This is not a scientific idea. We can't test it. You can't test there's nothing which exploded. This is nonsense. Get away. And a funny thing happened. Nobody could think of a better idea, and the human need to have a beginning and end of a story overwhelmed everybody's objections, and soon there was nothing which exploded, somehow became a science. It's not a science. It really is junk. It's just nothing. But it's the science of our day. the reason that they were able to get away with it is because that all astronomy, which you probably loved when you were a kid, which I loved when I was a kid, everybody loves astronomy when they're a kid. We love looking at the stars. But all astronomy is based on essentially an 18th century idea coming out of Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was a genius. There's no question about it, and I'm not knocking him at all. But Isaac Newton, all scientists are bound by the limits of their age. So what were the limits of Isaac Newton's age? Let me ask this way. What didn't Isaac Newton have by his bedside to wake him up in the morning?
An alarm clock?
He didn't have an alarm clock because he didn't have electricity. And by not having electricity, he didn't understand the primary aspect of the universe that we can now understand today by having electricity. In other words, he didn't understand, it's not his fault, that the universe was an electrical phenomenon. It was the coursing movement of electrons through space. So we got stuck with an idea from Isaac Newton that space was a big dead empty, that it was gravity only. And gravity is a very weak force. We don't think about it, but we break gravity all the time. You jump up in the air, you break gravity. Multi-ton airplanes fly, with just jet fuel. They're breaking the force of gravity. The whole Earth is pulling against your glasses or the cup or even the 10-pound weight. You can just lift it up. You can defy the whole planet. That's a weak force. We can break the force. If we could build a stairway out of the atmosphere, you could walk out of the planet's atmosphere. That's how weak gravity is. But there's a stronger force, and the stronger force is the electromagnetic force. Now, go to something in front of you, like a table, or find a piece of metal, like a fork, and try to pull the atoms apart. Try to pull the molecules apart. You won't be able to, because they're being held together by the attraction between the electron and nucleus, the electromagnetic force. And the electromagnetic force is not 1,000 times stronger than gravity, not 1,000,000, not 1,000,000,000, not 1,000,000,000,000. It's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, that is what makes planets and stars, and that's what's coursing through outer space. We truly live in an electrified universe. A star is not a nuclear explosion going off in space. This is an idea that people used to think stars were campfires in space because we had fire. Then when somebody split the atom and exploded the nuclear bomb, and that's how much energy, by the way, is in atoms when you break the electromagnetic bonds, they said, oh, well, a star must be a nuclear bomb. Well, it's not a nuclear bomb in space. Why would a nuclear bomb go off for billions of years? What would hold it together? A star is a collecting point for the electrical energy flowing into our solar system. That sounds a little weird and a little wonky, and I'm going to pause to let you throw in questions for the audience, stuff I'm missing. But I'm going to pause to say why this matters is pretty simple. This matters because we're still boiling water to make electricity. The universe, outer space is an electrified plasma. It's full of charged particles. We're digging up uranium to convert, or plutonium to convert to uranium, or uranium to convert to plutonium, to boil water. The most dangerous thing you could do, using nuclear fissionable material to boil water, to spin a wheel to make electricity. Are we kidding? The universe is full of electricity, and we're not looking at it. We're not interested in it. We're killing people for oil so that we can heat things and make things to kill more people or to build more machines. But the universe will give us electricity if we just figure out how to use the technology, frankly, that we already have to gather it. We're not doing it.
Well, you know, one thing, I like the fact that you talk about in the article, Twinkle, Twinkle, Electric Star, that it really is the scientists cannot get out of the 17th century. But one of the, since the nuclear age, what you had just referred to, I was always taught as a youngster that the sun is one big nuclear reactor or something, that it's nuclear. And one of the things, the examples that you make in this article is, look at the hottest point of a fire and the hottest point of a nuclear explosion or what have you, and it really screws up their whole idea that they're trying to push on us, that the sun is nuclear, and they call that the solar coronal heating problem. And isn't it amazing? They always come up with this, well, our theory really sucks ass because we can't explain it, but that's just a problem. Give me more money and we'll find a solution.
Send more money. Right. So the solar coronal heating problem is this. Where is the sun the hottest? Now, if you really believed that the sun was a nuclear bomb, it would be clearly hotter. Where? Where is a fire hottest? In the center of the fire, in the hot coals, in the top of the flame, or 10 feet above the fire? Now, if you've ever hung around a campfire, you'll know that you can put your hand above the fire, you can even pass your hand through the flames, but you cannot plunge your hand into the hot coals because they're 10, 20 times hotter than the flame. That's the same with a nuclear bomb. Where is it going to be the hottest? In the center of the fission area or 100 miles away? Well, where is the sun the hottest? And I'm not making this up. You can look this up. Same with everything in my book, Official Stories. On sale now. Buy a copy. I dock the price about $1 on Amazon and CreateSpace. Try to get some the kids going into school to buy it. And if you're in a homeschool thing, just contact me and I'll give you like 30-40% off. So where is the sun the hottest? Where is the sun the hottest? You'd expect, if it's a nuclear bomb, to be hottest, well, in the center. Well, we can't get to the center of the sun, so we'd have to look at the surface of the sun. If we can see just beneath the surface of the sun, well, we can see just beneath the surface of the sun. Sunspots are areas in the sun where the surface opens a little bit to an area of, you know, a certain number of kilometers, maybe even miles beneath. So where is the sun the hottest? In the sunspot, beneath the surface, on the surface, or let's pick a point, 10,000 kilometers away from the surface. Kurt, where is the sun the hottest? You just be average John Q. Citizen trying to answer this difficult question.
Well, if I was average John Q. Citizen that hadn't read the article or the book, I would say the sun's got to be hottest right there at the core, because it makes sense.
Makes sense if it's a nuclear bomb. And if it's not a nuclear bomb, the problem is the sun's not the hottest beneath the surface. It's 4,500 degrees. It's about 6,000 degrees, 5,700 degrees on the surface, Kelvin, which is close to Celsius, 10,000 kilometers away in deep space above the surface of the sun is a million degrees, 1 million to 10 million degrees. That's the corona. That's the part that glows brightly when there's an eclipse and the moon passes in front of the disk part of the sun and there's a huge flanging out. That flanging out part, the corona, is millions of degrees hotter than the surface of the sun, which is only a few thousand degrees, 5,000 degrees. That should be shocking to everybody.
Yeah.
Why would that be so? It would be so because there are power lines of electrons, of electrified plasma coursing through the universe that collect on these large spheres that we call stars. These stars are collecting points. They're anodes, not cathodes. They receive, not give. And they are points at which the electrons coalesce. When a plasma coalesces, when it gets very dense, it bursts. First goes into glow mode, which is what neon lights are. That's electrified particles coming close together and beginning to glow. That's light. We see that all around us. When it goes into an even denser collection, the electromagnetic forces bind them. They get closer together. They get hotter and brighter. They burst. It's called arc mode. We can see that in arc welding. That's what arc welding is. Arc welding really is replicating what the surface of the sun is. You see that in lightning. Lightning is electricity in arc mode.
Now I want to talk about that as soon as we get back from this next break, because the whole lightning thing blew me away. We're going to be right back. Once again, you're still listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Greetings. This is Dr. Gabriel Cousins, director of the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center in Patagonia, Arizona. And in these times, I'm choosing to speak more publicly because I'm committed to supporting people in their health awakening process. For this reason, I invite you to join me in our new autumn programs. Choose to be trained in vegan live food preparation in our condensed conscious eating weekend. which is designed to meet the sincere needs of the busy. Or take our new innovative 10-day holistic health intensive, which will leave you feeling renewed and empowered. I also invite you to join me in the later fall for our powerful 21-day transformation program or our 9-day spiritual fasting retreat. For more information, please visit our website at drcousins.com or call 520-394-2520. Blessings to your health and spirit.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Raw Nation's Hot Rocks is the only raw, vegan, certified organic vitamin for your sex drive. Hot Rocks is made using only the purest organic superfoods and herbs in their raw, unaltered state. We've created this synergistic blend of powerful herbs that intensifies sexual energy and performance in both men and women. It's like an overall vitality pill that makes you feel amazing. There's absolutely no chemicals, pesticides, or harsh stimulants in Hot Rocks. If you already have a strong sex drive, Hot Rocks will help you maintain it and keep it from slipping away. The problem that affects even the healthiest people nowadays because of the amount of toxicity that we are all exposed to. So what are you waiting for? We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can order Hot Rocks risk-free. It's time to experience pure bliss and the only truly healthy libido enhancer on the market, Hot Rocks. Order online at hotrocks.com. That's HOTRAWKS.com or call us 855-RAW-LIFE. That's 855-729-5433.
And now back to my daddy, Kurt Linderman.
The mob has plans. The cops have plans. They're schemers. Schemers trying to control their little world. I'm not a schemer. I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things really are.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. with Liam Sheff. Liam, before we took the break, you started to talk about lightning. Now, this blew me away because I know most of my listeners think the same that I thought. And that is, well, what do kids, my kids have asked over and over again, and I lied to them every frickin' time when they say, Daddy, what makes lightning? Well, honey, it's water particles in the atmosphere that are rubbing together. How ridiculous was that? I can't believe that I fell for that. Explain lightning to us. It's just amazing.
It's very simple. I know it's a rough one because if you look at the Wikipedia, which is this CIA fact book, nothing there has to be true, especially controversial stuff. You can get Hugh Grant's birthday right. But lightning in the Wikipedia is meant, well, they'll admit that they don't quite have all the mechanisms figured out, which is nice of them to do. Yeah, we don't know exactly what we're talking about, but we're right. Lightning is meant to be water particles or ice particles in the clouds rubbing together, and that's supposed to make lightning. Hold on a second. I'm going to go to my freezer. There's some ice in there. Sometimes it rubs together. Oh, no, I've been shocked. That's never happened. No one's ever been electrocuted out of their freezer. from ice particles rubbing together. So that's not true. It's just, it's not even, it's patently false. The reason that NASA can't figure out what lightning is because if they did, the bang theory would die at the same time. They'd have to admit that space was constantly, it was an electrified plasma instead of a big dead empty. They want it to be a big dead empty. It goes along with the Darwinian worldview of everything's an accident, nothing makes sense. It's really the same project, you know. Everything's a big dead empty. We don't know what we're doing. Send more money. And have no, you know, don't believe anything either, by the way. There's no order in the universe. It's chaos. It's chaos. Well, the universe is full of order. It's totally apparent if you look at a seashell or you look at the fiber of your skin. Everything has order. And lightning is what happens when the charged body that is the Earth, it's a spinning body with probably a metal core or at least a lot of metal in it that has a particular electromagnetic charge that's gaining charge all the time, runs through a plasma, which is a charged sea of particles. Now, what happens when you, a charged body, you have an electrical charge, rub your feet against a carpet, pulling up electrons, creating an electrical charge on your body? What happens? You touch something metal and...
you get shocked. Static electricity.
But you can actually see the spark jump from your finger to the grounding point that has a different electrical charge, the doorknob or whatever's metal. What do you think the Earth is doing? The Earth is rubbing against the carpet of electrified space and sparking millions of times a day. It's millions of times a day that the Earth sparks into space to re-equilibrate its electrical charge. That's all it's doing. It's re-equilibrating. It's equilibrating its electrical charge millions of times a day. That's what lightning. Now, it's so simple. Like, oh yeah, Earth is electric, space is electric, they charge to each other. They spark off of each other. Oh, okay, I get it. Totally obvious. But NASA wants to say, oh, it must be ice particles in the clouds, because otherwise the universe is electrical. And if the universe is electrical, Big Bang Theory dies, all of the research into make-believe dark matter, which doesn't exist. No, dark matter doesn't exist. Black holes don't exist. These were invented in the 70s, essentially, in the 80s, 90s, to deal with the fact that gravity-only theory doesn't work. It doesn't hold the universe together. The universe is infinite, but the size, the shape, doesn't hold together in a gravity-only universe. Gravity, again, very weak force, wouldn't hold our planet it wouldn't hold the solar system together. It wouldn't form a star. It wouldn't form a planet. It wouldn't make a galaxy. No galaxy could form in a non-electrical universe. But the electrical universe has the power of the electromagnetic force. Again, 10 to the 39th power stronger than gravity. And that reaches across all distances. So, you know, that's why galaxies have that particular pinwheel shape. By the way, this is all testable. You can, you know, Anthony Parada, a real physicist, plasma physicist, did experiments with plasmas. He modeled plasmas with supercomputers without faking numbers, or, you know, he just modeled what plasmas do based on their actual characteristics. And when you do a cross section, you get that pinwheel shape. You get and plasmas and electricity flow in the lightning shape. They flow in the Lichtenberg pattern, which is the shape of leaves, the shape of veins, the shape of patterns on the skin, on your skin, the shape of the pattern of water on the earth. The circular spiral pattern of lightning is also a spiral, the same as a tree growing up, the same as roots going down, the same as the organization of crystals. They all form in spirals. So the universe is full of these repetitive crystalline electromagnetic patterns. And yet, NASA and Darwinism want to say that the universe is a big dead empty, a big stupid mistake created by a blind watchmaker because, you know, it was obviously a big dumb accident. And that's where they live. So all of science today is ruled essentially by ignorance. And it's a willful ignorance that wants to just believe in nothing. That's why we can inject children with poison, because they believe in nothing. Nothing makes sense to them. Nothing has value. I do connect it top to the bottom. I really think that they are so, I don't know. The word godless comes to mind, and I don't even mean that as a Christian. I mean they just don't believe in anything. They just don't believe in any force in the universe other than the tiny, tiny force of their own minuscule brains.
And that is so true. And the other thing I think, even the scientists out there, like the one you just mentioned that says, hey guys, you got it all wrong, check this out. Just like with the vaccines, just like with AIDS, so many of the other things out there, the dogma sets in and next thing you know, you're labeled a heretic and you're gone. You no longer have any scientific credibility anymore. And I think what it is it's that old story of you tell a lie so many times, eventually you have to live it because you're going to be made to look like a complete and total fool when the real story comes out. So you got to do everything you can to cover that up and keep on creating and establishing that lie over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's sort of where they live. They can't let, they can't stop. They're addicts. They're addicted to their power and their money, and why would they want to give any of it up? So,
well, and plus, if you don't figure it out, you can keep getting research money.
Please send more money. Mysteries abound. We're not sure. We don't know how HIV might cause AIDS. Send more money. It's only been 30 years and $350 billion, but send more money. Oh, but if any of these stupid vaccine mothers complain, they are horrible, horrible people, and we hate them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this whole idea of the Earth, the universe being electric, and you kind of touched upon this earlier in the program, and are there people out there that are saying, hey, if the universe is electric, if obviously with all millions of strikes of lightning a day, everything is electric out there, wow, how can we harness that power? Is there anybody looking at that? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
I know that there's a company that was looking at, it was a few years ago and I don't have the name, there was a company in New Jersey that was doing something interesting with trying to get the charge off of atoms electromagnetically without doing fission, which is the dangerous kind of nuclear explosion. The most simple and elementary way to get the electricity of the universe, well, there are two. The electrical phenomena that we most experience on Earth is weather. That's the electrical phenomena we most experience on Earth. We experience weather, either sunlight or wind, tornadoes, hurricanes. These are all electrical phenomena. These are discharge phenomena, equilibration phenomena. No, not light, but the weather is. So wind is a very good way to capture the electric universe. You actually capture it mechanically. Light is something that we can capture either by capturing heat or by capturing electrons in photovoltaic cells. But nobody really takes solar seriously. Everybody likes to laugh at it. It is the only resilient energy source. And if we were serious, if we were really serious about getting out of oil and all these promises that these politicians make, we would invest in making sure that all energy, all electricity, was produced locally. If you have a lot of wind or water flow, you can produce it locally. Any town with a river can produce its own electricity. Nobody thinks about that, but you can. Any town with a windy gap can produce most of its own electricity, maybe all of it, maybe more than all of it. Maybe you can sell it back to the grid, but nobody wants to do that. Most towns could feed themselves all the vegetables they need just by growing them. The Sun Belt is problematic because they don't have water. They have to import it. So I don't know how long that part of civilization will last, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico. But, while it's there, we really should be blanketing all the settlements that are there with passive and active, photovoltaic and heat means to capture electricity. Now, somebody could come up with, we'll put a satellite in space and beam it down. It's very expensive and, one thing goes wrong and everybody's screwed. It probably wouldn't work anyway. But the obvious way to collect electricity is to collect it in sunlight. And if we did that, imagine this. When I was researching the book, or even before, I was reading about nuclear power. One of the arguments for nuclear power is that it's a cheap, clean source of electricity. Well, that's all a lie, because to build a nuclear power plant costs more oil and coal than you'll ever, ever, ever get back from the plant itself. I'm talking, 10 years, 15 years just to build it, and you're really building a city. It's a lead and cement city that you have to build. And it costs so much in terms of oil, coal, and power to build it, that it's not worth it in natural resources. Then milling the uranium and plutonium and then, you know, making it usable, it's just so dangerous. So I was reading about what the alternatives were, and I read the Department of Energy study, DOE study, that said that all of the electricity used in the country could be provided by three of the windiest states if they were built up with windmills. Now, the problem with that is you can't transfer electricity across the whole country. You have to do it locally. But just in terms of the charge that you'd get out of the windmills, I was impressed. Like, wow, that's impressive. You always think there's no hope, but you can produce electricity locally. And then it said if 15 or something of the windiest states, you know, built windmills to reasonable capacity, we'd have three times the amount of electricity that we use in a year for the country. And I thought, well, that's great. That means that we don't have to go without electricity just in case there are infrastructure problems. But the government's not going to do it for us. They're dragging their feet. They're involved in killing Arabs for oil. You know, they think that that's important. They're blowing up all the mountains they can to get the coal shale out of them, which is mentally ill. It's pure mental illness. I mean, the return rate on that is just so low, and the danger and the permanent damage, the toxic damage is going to be so high. There's nobody can stop these maniacs, though. So I do encourage people to get into solar and wind. Wherever you are, just do it.
You know, I've been wanting to do a windmill out at my property for the longest time, and hopefully someday soon I can get it. But, you know, you talk about the cost of building a nuclear reactor, and I know that's a far bigger cost than building a windmill. But I see these windmills out there, and they are just so massive here in the Midwest. You know, they're 350 foot tall, and their wingspans, which are the wings for the propellers or whatever you want to call them, are built just a couple of, like, an hour away from my house. And these things are massive. It takes two tractor trailers, you know, beds to carry one blade of this wing. What's the cost there? Wouldn't that be kind of the same thing? Will it cost more to create these wind farms than it will generate power?
It'll cost to generate them. Nothing is free, and that's a good point. These are the industrial windmills, which are necessary for large cities. And it's great that they're, by the way, built here in country. It's nice that these things can still be done by America. No offense to anybody else, but we do have to look after our economy. You can put together a prefabricated small. They have now sort of whisper windmills that you put in the corner of your property that are very not loud. These big ones are boom 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 boom, but the small ones are, you know, just a light whoosh. I was in Washington D.C. early this year, gave a talk, and I walked around the grounds of the swamp of D.C., the reclaimed swamp, and they had an exhibit of a number, maybe three or four house-sized windmills, very small, maybe a story tall, like if you have a ranch house, maybe as tall as your house. And some were cylinders, so they just point straight up. They don't have any spinning blades. They spin vertically. You know what I'm saying? The whole item spins. And then they have some tall ones that have a little small blade at the top. And I read what they could produce. And they could produce about, each one could produce about half, maybe two-thirds of your electrical use. So get two. You know, I mean, these are the options. You don't have to build the industrial with the 747 wingspan windmills, which are kind of cool. But yeah, they're going to be expensive to build. Not like a nuclear power plant, though. When you're building a nuclear power plant, you're building a city. You have to build a city. Containment units, reactors, a number of reactors with 10, 15, 20 feet of cement reinforced with lead and steel. So to build one tall windmill is a big project. You'll pay for it in a few years, and then you'll be making money. To rehabilitate it or to maintain it will be expensive. So that's why I say that's a government project, though. Local projects are you building something at your house. Electricity is a fairly simple thing to harness and understand. You know, you have a plus and a minus. You spin the generator. There's a magnet inside of a magnet, and it produces electricity. It moves electrons. It's a it's almost as though the powers that be gave us this very simple, relatively simple to understand and harness technology so that we wouldn't have to be in the dark, figuratively and literally. It's almost as though we should be able to do this ourselves, and we can. I mean, we can produce electricity if we want by putting an anode and a cathode into a lemon. So, you know, not much, but a little. So you can build a small windmill on your property. Now, if your town's being a pain in the butt, you know, get one of the whisper ones. And maybe if you're living in a city and you're all packed together, you're stuck on the grid. But if you have a half an acre, you know, if somebody in your city protests, oh, it's noisy at night. Well, everything's noisy. Everybody's noisy these days. Everything's a little noisy and a little bit of a, it's not like the constant cranking of air conditioners and heating vents and all that kind of stuff isn't noisy. It is. So that's a false, it would harm the landscape. In some places it might, but not like fracking.
Yeah, and only if you're a Kennedy.
Yeah, right.
You know, and the one sniveling about the noise is probably the one that's got the teenage kid with the crotch rocket that comes home at midnight revving his motor.
Everybody, you know, everybody's noise is somebody else. The sound, I guarantee the human species could get used to the gentle sound of small windmills.
Oh, I sure could.
Yeah, if it meant, because now I have to listen to terrible music all the time. Everybody's totally obnoxious with their revving their vehicles all the time, coming in and out with their, everybody's got portable music devices now in their phones. They just play them wherever they are. I mean, I want to arrest people and just put them in a camp, like for rehabilitation of manners. Nothing hard, just manners. Like, this isn't, you know, just be in your own space. Don't infect mine. But that's a Liam in three. But the reality is that windmills and solar, people laugh at them. The big industrialists laugh at them. Why do they laugh at them? Because they're not big government problems. Because it would be up to individuals to build their property. Wouldn't that be kind of neat? Hey, we don't have electricity, but John down the road does. Mary down the road does. You know, they have electricity. Maybe we should go over there and learn from them what to do. And you can do it. You just go to like, what's it called? The Rocky Mountain Institute. Rocky Mountain Institute online. You can go to any, just go to build an electric windmill. There's so many people doing it. Start gardening, build a windmill. Get ahead of the crush. We got 50 or 70 years of decline ahead of us. Get ahead of it.
Who does that Rocky Mountain Institute?
Rocky Mountain Institute, it used to be, I believe they used to be affiliated with a couple of the guys from the Whole Earth Catalog, Stuart Brand and his partner, but Stuart Brand sort of went nuts and went off the reservation and started posting for nuclear power. And I actually read all of, that's how I got into researching nuclear power. The Rocky Mountain Institute used to do some, and they probably still do some cool stuff. They had like something up in the mountains. And they had an indoor thing, you know, it was up the central mountains in, what are the central mountains in the country called? The backbone mountains, the really cold ones, Colorado. What are those mountains called?
The Rocky Mountains? Or what?
Redundancies. Yeah, I thought there was a special name, but yes, the Rocky Mountains. They had a greenhouse that they had built with their, you know, energy-saving technologies, and they could grow bananas on the inside of the greenhouse, and they had to open the windows kind of thing because it was so hot on the inside. You know, they've been ahead of technology for 40 years at this point, so they're very interesting. But Stuart Brand, who used to work on the Whole Earth Catalog, I guess got suckered into talking about nuclear, and he said, oh, let's say, and so I read about it, and I thought, really? And you just read the policy papers, like it takes 15 to 20 years to build. You have to mine the uranium, you have to mine the plutonium, turn it into uranium. You have to mill it. It's incredibly dangerous. You have tons of nuclear waste. Any nuclear waste is dangerous. This is incredibly dangerous. You have nowhere to put it. You're going to have to bury it in somewhere. You're going to have to bury it in New Mexico. You have to destroy one of the states, put it on rail to get rid of it. It produces very little electricity. If it shuts, I mean, compared to wind, it produces very little electricity. Now, from a standstill, you know, these electrical plants have to, if they shut down, it takes a coal plant a number of hours and days to get back online. It takes a nuclear power plant weeks and months.
Right.
It's offline. It's weeks and months that everybody's with electricity. If your windmill goes offline, it doesn't. I mean, if it stops, you fix the blade and it's back online.
Yeah, no doubt. Liam, we're out of time. You got to start coming on the program a lot more often, man.
Let's do it. Let's schedule me for every 2 weeks.
That sounds great to me, brother.
Great to me, too.
All right, man. Stay on the line. I'm going to sign off here, and then we'll talk. All right, everybody. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I appreciate you listening. And do not forget, here at Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Y'all have a great one.